Ladies and gentlemen, podcasting since 2005, you're listening to Gamertag Radio with your host, podcaster Hall of Famer Danny Pena, the always opinionated Paris Lilly, and from outside of the norm, Peter Toledo. This is Gamertag Radio.
Welcome to Gamertag Radio episode 989. This is the last episode of 2019, and we do this every year. Every year, the game of the year. We're going to be talking about that. And joining me this week, we have Paris. What's going on, Paris?
Hey, good morning. And how are you today, sir?
Good. Feeling great. You know, it's pretty cold over here.
Merry Christmas.
And happy holidays, yes.
Oh, wait. Yeah, we're not allowed to say Christmas anymore.
Right? No, we can happy say Christmas. Holidays. Happy holidays. It's all good. So everything is good over there, West Coast?
Everything's good. We're going ice skating in a couple hours, so that should be fun because I don't know how to ice skate, so I'll watch them all ice skate.
We're in the same page, man, because I really don't know how to do that. So one day I'll probably go to Rockefeller Center and just do that and bust my butt in front of everybody. That's going to be very entertaining. But Paris, I think this would be a great way for us to end 2019. Guess who's back? Mr. Pete.
Yo. What's up,
Pete? European Pete.
Euro Pete.
What's up, man?
I'm doing good. And yourself?
Good. How's it been? It's been a couple months.
Yeah.
In actual recording, right?
Yeah. Well, so. I kind of warmed up. I kind of went through warm-ups yesterday. I did a show with your brother. Don't know how it went. It had a lot to do with drinking. You know what? Your brother's a son. And if you need to bleep that out, that's fine, because he hits me up on Twitter. He's like, "Yo, I want you to do the show. Like, can you do the show for me? It's like 15 minutes in and out and we'll be done." Ended up being like 90 minutes, and it's just like you got me. But I mean, other than that, I mean, it's good. I'm here in Switzerland. In freedom numbers, it's 41 degrees. It's 47 degrees right now. But I'm doing good, man. It's a little rainy, but you know, I'm back with you guys. Hello, Paris, over there on the West Coast, the best coast. What's up, everybody at GTR? How you doing?
Yeah. So everybody wants to know, Pete, is this like a one day thing that you're just coming back and that's it, or there's potential of you coming back in 2020
for sure? But from an audio perspective, for now, like, you know, obviously, you know, my schedule is freed up because apparently I can't read calendars or anything when I go to schedule flights. I thought my family was flying in this morning, when in actuality they're flying out this afternoon being Sunday, and they'll be here Monday morning. So they're not here, so that freed up my afternoon to come jump on the last show of the year, you know, for you guys. But coming in 2020, my stuff, like most of my stuff, is still in a shipping crate on the Atlantic, you know, making its way here. So eventually I'll have my full setup. Actually, I have to move into my new apartment at the end of January. So that'll be interesting. But by then, I'll have an actual office with my desk and my chair again, and I'll be able to set up my monitors, and then I can jump on and do the show from a video perspective as well with you guys.
Okay, well, Pete, I just want to say welcome back, man.
Thank you. So, it's good to be back.
It's been a couple of months, and it felt different. I'm not gonna lie, not having you here. You know, but yeah, it's good. It's good. Welcome back, man.
Thank you.
So we have a couple of things we're going to be talking about, you know, especially our favorite games of 2019, all that stuff. And also maybe predictions next year. Like what we think is going to happen in 2020 and everything. But my question for all of you guys, especially you, the listeners too, is overall, like your review of this year, 2019, your thoughts, gaming wise. Whoever wants to start first, you go from there, man.
I'll jump on this one. I think in general, 2019, I don't think anybody expected to see esports go from where it was, which was already pretty high up on the board, to go to where it is now, right? Mm-hmm. Esports in general, and when I say esports, it's everything, right? But League of Legends in and of itself was already the top game, and it blew every number that it had done previously out of the water. Their partnership with Louis Vuitton, Jesus, that sounds so bad, with Louis Vuitton for the World Championships just a few months ago was amazing. I'm still out there trying to find gear that I can get for that. And it's just been amazing how esports, I mean, you see it on ESPN, you see it on terrestrial TV and stuff. It's here to stay, and it's huge.
Cool. And anything else besides that?
On top of that, the battle for streamers, right? YouTube versus Twitch versus Mixer versus Facebook. I was actually just having a conversation on Twitter with our good friend Tony. It's amazing what they're doing. YouTube being the biggest leader, and Twitch actually lost a little bit of market share from 2018 to 2019. But Facebook and Mixer both gained market share, even though it's a small number going, just a 2% gain overall. To see the number of hours that were watched year over year, we're talking 12 billion with a B, 12 billion hours of gaming content on a streaming platform was watched in 2019. Mixer had 149% increase in total number of hours. I think it was like 35 million hours in total. Facebook had the hugest gain, 220% growth in hours watched. And then Twitch had a 20% gain, and it's already the market, it's already one of the leaders. YouTube itself is actually the market leader, and it had 16% increase. So, just seeing the content creator space, especially from a gaming perspective, to see it grow that big is amazing. So those are my two big things.
Yeah, and it's good that to see that now it's not like the content creators are just depending so much of the platform. Now the companies are depending on the content creators, because that's the reason why the actual viewers are just going to go and watch the stream because of their favorite content creators, So that's good, man. Now I'm glad to see that the content creators has that control.
Yeah, well, I wouldn't say they have a lot of the control. They still, held back. And I know this is biting the hand that feeds us as we're streaming live on Twitch right now. But that exclusivity agreement, that partnership agreement, and it even goes down to affiliates itself. It actually prevents content creators from actually truly succeeding and making money. Because you think about it, that exclusivity prevents them from going out to multiple platforms at the same time. And I understand the reason why for it, but if they were truly trying to get their streamers or their content creators paid, they would allow them to stream live on multiple platforms, giving the content creator the opportunity to make as much revenue as possible. And let's think about it. They didn't really start paying their streamers until they had to. So, as good as it's been for us, it could be better.
Agreed. What about you, Paris? Do you have anything to say about 2019 overall for you?
I think the biggest takeaway I take from 2019 from a gaming industry standpoint is we're seeing, I don't want to say it's the death of the live service game, because clearly it's not that, but we're seeing a radical shift on how companies are presenting them. I know we'll get into all the game of the year stuff and all that later, but we've obviously seen some titles that have come out this year that haven't succeeded the way that companies thought they would. And it has directly impacted titles that are going to release in 2020, or they may not release in 2020 at all because they're being delayed, because they're realizing that this current model of the live service game with the way that they present the DLC to you and the microtransactions is not necessarily working. We're also finding out with these live service games that the demand to keep up with new content is just not sustainable. So we're seeing new ways that these games are starting to be presented now. And it's going to be curious to see as we go into 2020 how that's going to work out. But that would probably be my main takeaway. Obviously, like Pete already said, the streaming stuff. Mm-hmm. But other than that, we're entering 2019 is clearly a transition year because next year is next generation consoles, next generation games, etc. So this has kind of been a status quo year from that standpoint. But there was definitely some lessons learned, like I said, on the live service side, which will impact what we see next year.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. And also from my point of view, about this year is I think the success of Nintendo Switch, man. I know for a while I've been saying that power doesn't mean it's not everything. I think if you have like the software, I think that's what's going to help you to get more consumers to buy your product, right? So like I know Sony and Xbox are fighting to get that console, like more powerful console out there, right, for next year. But Nintendo's been doing their own thing, and I'm really surprised that this year alone, every month, they've been the one that's been selling the most consoles every month here in the United States. So I'm glad to see that. I'm curious to see how they're going to put this off for 2020. I think releasing the right software this year has been helping them a lot, which I'm going to be talking about the game of the year in my list later on too about that. But I'm pretty happy about that, man. And also, stream the whole X Cloud and Google Stadia, that's going to be very interesting for next year. I'm very, very curious about that too, man. You know, so yeah, that's from my point of view from that, man. Anything else from you guys?
No, I think those are the biggest ones for me.
Yeah, okay. I think Sony has been doing great this year, right? But at the same time, they're kind of like being laying low, just getting ready for the right moment to start talking more about next gen console. I think the buzz started earlier this year. We had Pete Rubin. He interviewed Sony. He had an exclusive, I think it was for Wired.
Yes,
was it for Wired? Mm-hmm. Yeah. So that was cool. I think that started a conversation about the next gen consoles, you know, and especially now just recently with Xbox at the Game Awards, which are pretty smart, you know, showing the next gen console there at the awards, man. That was pretty cool. So yeah, I think Sony's been doing great this year, man. They've been just chilling, and they weren't there at E3 at all and still were creating a big huge buzz this year, you know. So yeah, all right.
Send us your feedback or questions. Give us a call at 786-273-7GTR. Email us at fanmail@gamertagradio.com or leave a message on speakpipe.com/gamertagradio.
Any predictions for 2020? Who would like to start with this one? Miss Leo predictions.
Hey, darling, this is certified psychic Miss Leo. The guys at Gamertag Radio have pulled me out of retirement to give them some free readings. So I've been using the power of the tarot cards to look into the future, baby. You hear me?
Twinkle, twinkle, little star.
2020 predictions, I would say, clearly, Cyberpunk 2077 is going to be one of the biggest games of the year. I'll be very curious to see how it sells overall as we go through the year, especially transitioning from the current gen into the next gen consoles. I think, again, Miss Leo, once again, the GOAT, it's going to be Call of Duty. Whatever the next Call of Duty is going to wind up being the number one selling game this year, mm-hmm. especially the fact that it's going to be on Xbox One. It's going to be on PlayStation 4. It's going to be on PlayStation 5 and Series X12 or whatever the hell they're going to call it. So mm-hmm. it's going to be across multiple platforms, even more so than this year. So I just think it'll wind up being the highest selling game. I think a couple games that potentially could surprise us either way, good or bad, is going to be Halo Infinite, because I think Halo Infinite is clearly the most important game for Xbox in 2020. I don't care what else they put out. That is the game, because it's going to define what Microsoft or Xbox is going to be as we go into this next generation. And it is the game that will define that franchise. Either Halo is going to continue to be a top AAA franchise that people get excited for every time there's a release, we're just going to kill it. I mean, they've taken, I mean, by the time it comes out, it would have been 5 years since Halo 5. And it's going to be so important that that game absolutely nails it. And I think we've seen rumblings in 2019 because there's clearly been some staff shakeups over at 343 around the creative side of whatever that game's going to be. So I'm so curious to see its reveal, be it at E3 or at another event next year. And then obviously its release in November. And I think the biggest surprise game for 2020, believe it or not, I think it's going to be that Assassin's Creed. I think that Assassin's Creed, if you look at what they did with Origins and into Odyssey, the lessons learned that they've clearly been able to get from that. I mean, really, this origin goes all the way back to Black Flag. But if you just look at the last two Assassin's Creed, and now this one is going to be their quote unquote next gen Assassin's Creed. The rumors is it's going to be, you know, kind of a Norse mythology, Vikings, things like that. Mm-hmm. I think it has huge potential. You know, like I felt like Odyssey was about as close as I got to The Witcher 3 since The Witcher 3, right? So if they're able to build on that, I think Ubisoft could have a huge hit on their hands. I really do. But yeah, those would probably be my biggest Miss Leo things for 2020. Obviously, we'll see whatever the power specs are going to be on PlayStation 5 and on the Series X. I will boldly say this, though. Miss okay. Leo, PlayStation 5, Xbox uh-huh. Series X will both be $499. And whatever the second consoles are going to be called, I don't know if it's PS5 Pro and then just PS5, but whatever the quote-unquote lower-tier consoles are going to be, $299. And the reason I say is this, because I don't care what the power specs are on the Series S or whatever, I will bet you cash money that PlayStation 5, the lower-tier one, will be no more than $300. And that's going to force Xbox to price match. There's no way Xbox will have a console that costs more than whatever its PlayStation equivalent is going to be it on the high end or the low end. Mm-hmm. There you go.
Okay. I can see that. I can see that. Now, part of the prediction, too, about the next-gen consoles, and I think we had this conversation a couple of days ago, Paris. How many games, exclusive games, forget about third-party, exclusive games that PlayStation and Xbox needs to release on launch day?
Oh, I can tell you this right now. One, because all you need is one to actually sell the system. That's all that matters. As long as you have a game that people are excited to play and people will run out and purchase the hardware and the title to play it, that's all that matters. So be it Halo Infinite, be it Forza 8, I guess it's going to be, or on the Sony side, be it Horizon Zero Dawn 2, or I don't know, they bring Killzone back or whatever it's got to be. All it needs to be is one that people will want to play and will want to pick up the hardware for. So now, it's going to be a little different with Xbox because Xbox has already made it very clear they're not asking you to buy the new hardware to play their games. So you can still have your Xbox One or you can have a PC. PlayStation, they've made it, oh, no. You want to play some next-gen stuff? You better pick up a PlayStation 5. So it's going to be a little different in that aspect. And because of that, I'm going to tell you already, PlayStation 5 will outsell whatever Xbox does in 2020. Just for that fact alone. Because you're not being forced to buy new hardware this year. I don't care how great the games are. If I don't have to spend $400 or $500, then I'm not going to. That's what the typical average person is going to do. They'll stick with what they got. If I already got an Xbox One X and Halo Infinite looks good enough, then guess what? In 2020, it's going to be good enough. I don't have to go buy it. Only the truly hardcore will run out and go buy that new hardware in 2020.
The strategy that Nintendo had when the Nintendo Switch launched, there was an exclusive first-party game, or an exclusive game in general, every month since the launch of the system. And it went very, very well for them. Instead of having so many games on day one, because I think that was the mistake from previous consoles that came out, having 15, 20 games at launch. I think it's good to have that launch window, man. Have, you know, sports games, first-person shooters, have a platformer. You know, I think that will work throughout the launch window instead of just having everything on day one, you know. So, yeah, I agree. Pete, you want to say anything about that? Or you good?
No. As far, from what Paris's point was, or just predictions in general?
Not just the conversation, just in general.
I agree with him in the sense that I think PlayStation will do better than Microsoft. I still don't know if Nintendo is willing to let go of that title yet, though. Right? I still think they're, like you said, they're still the sales leader, and they're going to continue to, because they don't cater to just, you know, a specific subset of consumers. They hit everybody, mm-hmm. right? They get little Johnny at 4 or 5 years old, and they get, you know, the millennials or the younger generation. They get us old dinosaur fuddy duddies as well. So everybody throws their wallet at Nintendo regardless of what they do. So for sure, I really think that, you know, Nintendo's still going to lead 2020. And honestly, they don't need another platform. They already have, you know, they already have the Switch, which we've seen do miracles in the form of The Witcher 3. And we've seen them, obviously, they've got probably the biggest and most legendary catalog of games of all time. So what's to say that they really need to put out another thing? Now, we'll talk about that more for my formal predictions later on in the talk. But yeah, I like what Paris said about that.
All right. Well, for me, I think that maybe around the end of February, mid February, maybe the beginning of March, that's when I think Sony will have like an official press conference for PlayStation 5. And I think around May, a month before E3, I think that would be a great time for Xbox to just talk about just the hardware, the console, right? And then when E3 comes, just talk about games, forget about the hardware. They already did that part, you know. So if they do show hardware and talk about that like around May, then maybe show one or two titles for the future that's coming up. That's one of my predictions from that. Let me see. Well, I know The Division 2 is, they're going to have an expansion sometime next year. I think maybe April. Paris P, maybe you guys disagree with me or not, but I think maybe April we might see something. Stay away from the launch of Cyberpunk, right? But I think have the expansion from that after that. You guys agree on that or no?
Yes, I agree.
Okay. I was like, yes, and I'm out.
No, I don't know if any developer has the gumption to release in April. As long as they don't have CD Projekt Red in their name, I don't see any company wanting to release a game or having the courage to drop a game in April, whether it's a full-on game, whether it's downloadable content. Mm-hmm. Hell, I'd probably even venture to say April, May, right? So I think if that title is going to get a drop on something, it's going to have to drop March, even though that's still going to be a landmine of releases, of release dates. Mm-hmm. So,
all right. Another game that I would like to ask you guys, which we've been hearing rumors that is coming back sometime next year, Anthem. Do you think this is going to be a title that's going to launch early the year, the relaunch, or at the end of the year of 2020?
If they're smart, they wait till the end of the year. They got to take as much time as humanly possible. I'd even say wait till 2021. Make sure you get a full relaunch on that properly. I mean, yeah, we've seen titles like Rainbow Six come back from the grave in a sense. And an Anthem relaunch was actually one of my predictions for 2020 as well. We've seen No Man's Sky do it as well. Maybe not to as large of a degree as Rainbow Six did, but No Man's Sky, I think, had a much larger falling from grace at launch, whereas Rainbow Six did well and then started to falter on sales. And then obviously with Games as a Service as its platform, it just blew up. But Anthem needs to be completely redone in the way that it's being, in the way that it's currently at. There's no way that you could give them 6 months to turn it around. Okay. I'm sorry. I think there's going to, if it's going to be done, I would say hope, you know, at the earliest fall holiday of 2020. But if you want to have a realistic launch, 2021.
I a little bit disagree with that, Pete, because that's when the next gen console is coming up. Maybe summer will work better for EA. Have that space that people could still play the games, and then once the next gen consoles, a lot of people are just going to move on, you know. So,
but the console doesn't matter on a game like that uses games as a service. It could be, you could have people playing on PS4, you could have people playing on PS5, you can have people playing on Xbox One, you can have people playing on Series X or on PC. It doesn't matter. That's why I'm saying I don't think, and actually, if you could put it even as part of a branding for, you know, a console bundle, you know, an Anthem bundle for PS5. I don't know how well that would do, because, you know, considering that title's already put a very, very sour taste in a lot of people's mouths. But yeah, I think they quietly do it in 2021. Honestly, 2021, just quietly slip it in there, maybe in the early spring of it when there's not a lot of big heavy titles dropping, slip it in there and let it go.
Now, what's your predictions before we go to the game of the year?
Well, I want to know what Paris's face was all about.
Oh,
I'll tell you offline.
Okay. Moving forward. All right. Okay. Games that I'm, you know, predictions. Half-Life Alyx is going to be bigger and better than we expect. I think it's got a lot of anticipation and hype, because it has the Half-Life title onto it. So I think it's going to be interesting to see how that comes out. Gods and Monsters is going to be pretty big, I think, in my opinion. That's the new title from Ubisoft for 2020. I think that's going to blow up more than we expect. And then, you know, outside of Cyberpunk 2077, I think maybe Dying Light 2, Last of Us 2 might be a reason for me to go and pick up another console. You know, I would love to be able to play it elsewhere, but obviously we know Sony's, you know, predilection for not doing that. So unfortunately, unless it's going to be another 2 years from now when Sony lets it go out on PC, like some other rumors that we've seen for other Sony, you know, platform exclusives. But yeah. And then another one that I'm looking forward to is Predator Hunting Grounds from Illfonic. They're the ones who did the Friday the 13th game.
Ooh. Mm-hmm. I forgot about that game. That looks interesting too. And also Dying Light 2. I'm very excited about that game.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. Cool. Anything else? That's it, guys. We'll go to the next topic or what? We're good?
Well, for predictions, I think
for predictions.
AR, VR, I think we're just scratching the surface in that genre in general. Beat Saber right now is probably the top VR game. I mean, it is that game. It's stupid, right? But is it there yet? I don't think so. I don't think we've seen that breakthrough game for VR, AR that makes people run to the store to want to buy an Oculus or what have you. So I don't know if it's, I don't, I, it's just not there yet. We haven't seen that game that forces people to the stores and wait in line to go buy it for people. A crazy prediction. I think Danny, you get your wish. I think Game Boy Classic Mini or something like that comes to the stores. We've seen the last two Nintendo Classic devices hit the stores and, you know, fly off shelves. So I think you get your wish. You and I, you made a comment on something on I think it was Paris's thread last week on Twitter, and you mentioned Game Boy Classic. So I think.
Oh, no, that was IGN that asked that question.
Okay. Okay. So that's what that was. Yeah. Okay.
That's a little crazy prediction, but okay, I'll let that one slide.
Because I know, because of course you'll let it slide because you like that. And I think, you know, I'm going to continue wishing for a virtual console, and I don't. But while we may not see it, what if Switch Online continues to give us access to these older games? We saw them drop that big chunk of games for the Switch's first anniversary, and I think it's time for more. Right. So I want to see like a Mega Man X, Donkey Kong Country, Chrono Trigger. I want to see games like that come out.
I want to see more like Nintendo 64 GameCube games, you know? So
I think so too.
Yeah.
Same here.
You're listening to Gamertag Radio.
All right. So let's go with our games of 2019. Best games of 2019. But first things first, there was a lot of games, so there's no way we could put all of them on the list. So I'm going to start with some honorable mentions first. So I have four honorable mentions. That these games, I feel like it was a, I like it a lot, great games and everything. I just couldn't put it in my top favorite games of the year. So I'm going to start with The Division 2. I know everybody is thinking about how it is now, but I feel like the beginning when that game launched, I think it was just like amazing with the amount of content that was already there in the game. And then the end game, after you complete the main campaign, that was like something I've never seen before. Maybe like the closest, which I know Paris was the one that mentioned this during the preview event. It felt like a Link to the Past of Zelda, right? You finish it, then everything changes. I like that a lot. So yeah, The Division 2, Tetris 99, totally free game. If you're a Nintendo Switch Online subscriber, you will get this game completely free. And I love that there's always new updates. Just recently, they just started doing like 99 players, but now with teams, four teams against each other. So there's always brand new updates. There's always events almost every month. And I really, really like this, man. And you can also play not only online, but also offline. Call of Duty Modern Warfare, man. I think this is a great game. I've been having a blast. And just recently, there was like a major update for the game. And yeah, I'm loving it so far, man. It feels like the old Call of Duty, man. So, and the last game for me, Gears 5. I think it had the best campaign out of all Gears. And I love the new features that they add in the game, like escape and so on. So just recently, there was an update too for the game, and they just added new game modes in there too, man. So Gears 5, Division 2, Tetris 99, and Call of Duty Modern Warfare are like my honorable mentions for me. Anything for you guys?
I mean, I'll jump on mine. If we're just doing honorable mentions now. Carrion from Devolver Digital. I got to check out this game at E3, and it was a lot of fun, right? You play the role of like a plasmoid, like kind of like a cell organism that goes through, and you have to use your controller, all the, you know, the sticks, the buttons, and everything to creep and crawl through your environment to get bigger and eat your opponents. And it's so much fun. It's so addicting. It's so chaos driven. It's a lot of fun. So if you have a chance, check that out. Gears of War 5 is on my honorable mention list as well. It brought me back to the reason why I always play the Gears of War campaigns, right? Really, really good storyline. The action and adventure was fun on that. And this title, this last one for honorable mention, almost made my top five, Untitled Goose Game. You haven't played it. It's stupid, silly fun. It's one of those games that I can just go and play, and I don't have to worry about getting to the next objective or, you know, getting, you know, uber caught up in the game itself. It's just stupid, silly fun. Your job is just to honk and create anarchy and make the people around you go nuts and drive them crazy. And it's just stupid, silly fun. And so those are my three.
Yeah, that one I think was like the biggest surprise for this year. It just came out of nowhere. Yeah.
Absolutely was. And it's worth the hype because it's that much stupid fun.
Yeah. Totally agree. What about you, Paris? Any honorable mentions?
I try to keep my list to things that actually came out in 2019 and wasn't just a, you know, an HD upgrade or anything like that. So my honorable mention, like you already mentioned, was Modern Warfare. I thought it was fantastic. Call of Duty is the most fun I've had with a Call of Duty in years, you know, as far as the campaign goes, and the multiplayer is pretty solid. And my other one was the Division 2. Basically for the same reasons that you said, that it, to me, it had the best launch of any of these live service type of games. I thought they had a solid plan to get us to the end game. Obviously we know it's had issues since, but, I just know a year ago this time, it was my most anticipated game coming into 2019. So, it was really good. I've had a lot of fun in it. That raid was fantastic to be able to play. There's definitely a lot of fun to be had in that game. Absolutely. They just introduced this new hardcore mode, which I've been tinkering around with. It's a lot of fun as well. So, you know, these live service games, you know, they have it's a roller coaster. They have their peaks and valleys right now. I feel like the Division 2 hit its peak, then it went into a valley, and I think it's trending back up. So it'll be very curious to see what that game will be as we go into 2020. But that's it for me as far as, like I said, games in 2019 that I played. The rest of them I'll just keep on my top five list.
Okay, cool. All right, so here goes, guys. Game of the year. We're going to have five games. We're going to start with five all the way to one. So who would like to be the first one?
I'll start. My number five game is Gears 5. It's no longer of war. Gears 5. It was a game that I was highly skeptical of as far as the campaign goes throughout the year, because they weren't giving us a lot of information about it. I'm like, oh boy, I don't know about this. I was getting all kind of Mass Effect Andromeda kind of feelings about it, right? But they actually played it very smart by keeping the campaign information close to the vest. And then who would have thunk it that Gears turned into an open world game? And it was pretty good. Pretty good story. Really enjoyed it. Played it on PC. I mean, it's just gorgeous. Definitely one of the best looking games I played in 2019, and it's a fantastic experience. I would say to anyone that has an Xbox or has access to Game Pass, absolutely check it out. It is a very fun game. Had a blast with it. I've not played a ton of like the horde mode and multiplayer stuff. I know there's been some rum. I know there's been some changes going on with it here towards the end of this year, but from what I have played, it's been fun. It's been a blast. So definitely recommend people check it out.
Very true. Very true. Number five for me, I'll go with Star Wars Jedi Fallen Order. I think is one of the best Star Wars game that I ever played. I put it up there with Knights of the Old Republic. And I always been excited for this game ever since Respawn announced it. Because look, if you think about it, Titanfall 2 had one of the best first-person shooter campaign that I've played, man, in this past decade or so. Respawn has always been on point with just creating great games, and their track record has been amazing so far. They haven't released a bad game so far at all. So Star Wars Jedi Fallen Order, let me tell you, if you're a fan of Star Wars, you should definitely pick this game up. This has been an amazing year when it comes to like Star Wars content, you know, with The Mandalorian, the movie just came out, and now with this back-to-back content, man, you know, as a Star Wars fan, I truly love it, man. So I would like to say, man, thank you to Respawn, man, for creating a great story and just a fun game overall, man. So Star Wars Jedi Fallen Order is my top. It's in my top five for me.
Nice. Mm-hmm. For me, top five, Call of Duty Modern Warfare. I was surprised that the game was as good as it was when it came out. The storyline hits, the writing is well done. I love that they legitimately got Middle Eastern life, the culture, done well. Like to the point where it's very, very believable. The gameplay, I mean, the gunplay in that game is top notch, and it brought Call of Duty back up to like GOAT status from a playability perspective. I always play the campaign first before I jump into multiplayer, but the multiplayer has been rock solid as well. Been nonstop. It's been a lot of fun. So, Call of Duty Modern Warfare, top five for me.
And you know what's the game changer too, Pete? crossplay for the first time.
Yep. Yeah.
And it works. And it works perfectly.
It works great. Albeit too. You know, I've been on both sides of a winning and a losing battle. Going against people with controllers versus keyboard mouse. It's there, right? And it's hopefully that's the future, right? Hopefully it doesn't matter what service you're on, but it, you know, or what platform or what piece of plastic you're playing. Hopefully that's just the future where I can play with whomever I want to play with and not be limited.
Yep. All right. So let's go with number four, Paris.
I think Pete should do it. I think we should go reverse it the other way. That way everyone doesn't steal everyone's thing.
That's shots fired.
go check out WhatsApp.
Yeah, I saw it.
I think Pete should go.
Okay. All right. Number four. I think this title caught everybody by surprise. Apex Legends. Game when it dropped from Respawn, caught everybody by surprise. Nobody expected it to do as well or be as good as it was right off the bat. You had the ping system. You didn't even have to really use your microphone. In game, which was, you know, one of the most important parts of playing a multiplayer game, right, is being able to communicate. And now you didn't need to do it anymore, right? And we've seen how that one feature has now been copied across multiple titles, whether it be PUBG or whomever. They also dropped the Respawn, you know, haha, funny, you know, it's their name, but you know, they drop the ability to respawn back into your game and give your team an opportunity to really truly succeed. It wasn't just, oh, I died, I'm gone. And so, you know, while that hasn't, you know, permutated itself towards other titles like PUBG, I mean, I know we saw it in Fortnite and it's still in there. They had a slight drop after the first couple of months, but you know, they've got new maps. They've been, you know, slowly feeding it. We're seeing the Rainbow Six effect now, right, from Ubisoft, where you just keep slowly feeding it content. You know, it's worked for Rainbow Six, it's worked for Destiny, and you know, we haven't seen it there with The Division, unfortunately. But hopefully Ubisoft and Massive have that, you know, on the forward path. Right now, number four, Apex Legends. They're moving in, they're trending in the right direction. So shout out to them, number four for me.
Great game, man. And it actually is going to be a year now in February.
Yeah.
Crazy how time flies, man. So, all right. So my number four game, which this game is better than Bayonetta 1 and 2. And this is from one of my favorite developers, Platinum Games. They've been working now on creating just exclusive games for Nintendo now for the past couple years now. Astral Chain. Look at that. Back-to-back single-player games, man. I think this year has been a good year when it comes to just single-player game overall. Astral Chain, I just love just the action, the amazing, breathtaking boss battles that I've seen in any game. It is pretty insane. And for a Nintendo Switch title, an exclusive one especially, graphically, it looks really, really cool, man. And just the soundtrack overall is good. And the amount of content. This game is long. After you even finish the game, there's even more stuff to do in there, man. So if you have a Nintendo Switch, if you never played Astral Chain, and you play games like, you know, Devil May Cry, Bayonetta, stuff like that, you should definitely pick this game up, man. It's one of my favorites so far for 2019, man. A must-have game, in my opinion, if you have a Nintendo Switch, man. Astral Chain. So,
and my number four is Control. Control was a game that I clearly was aware of the last few years. I know how excited Danny had been since it had its E3 reveal, but I hadn't actually touched it or really seen anything about it until I went to Gamescom. And I got to sit down with the folks at Remedy and they kind of walked me through the game and I instantly fell in love with it. I go, this is a fantastic title. I love the genre and just the mystery of basically being in that world. Control, I don't want to spoil anything, but it was a lot of fun. It's a really solid game. It's fantastic. It deserves all the accolades that it's been getting this year. And yeah, highly recommend it from me. So Control.
Cool. Great pick, man. So who should go next?
You should go.
I should go? Okay. All right. So my number three, interesting game here, man. Super Mario Maker 2. This is a game that there's always new content every minute from just the fans. So just create new levels, some easy, some very challenging. Some that you just play it for like speed runs. I just love it, man. I love the last game, but I feel like this one is even a lot better. And there's going to be even new free content coming up. Oh, I think just came out, I think, recently for the game, man. So Super Mario Maker 2, it's amazing, man. Actually, that's my second most played game from Nintendo Switch for me, man, that I have. I just checked my year review, and it's, that one is number two. And number one is The Witcher 3. So, yeah, so Super Mario Maker 2, man. And it has online. You can play single player, all that. So I even follow a lot of the creators that have been uploading like new levels all the time. So I just follow them and I'll just check to see if there's any updates, if there's any like new levels from them and everything. So I just like the format. I love that it also has a single player game, and you could also play multiplayer games with people too. So really cool, man. Super Mario Maker 2. My number three.
I'll jump in because it was also my number three. So everything that you just said about Mario Maker 2, in full agreement with it. Yeah, it's fantastic.
Mm-hmm. Cool.
Cool. All right. Number three for me, Jedi Fallen Order from Star Wars. Really, really well done game. I mean, again, and Respawn. They've just been knocking it out of the park in 2019. I don't know if it's up there and it's ready to topple KOTOR as the best Star Wars game. That's my opinion. Don't at me, but you can fight me. but it's dangerously, dangerously close up there. I haven't finished it, but my God, the gameplay is so good. The abilities, you know, the ability that you have as a player to parry, force, jump back. Oh my God, it's so much fun, right? And it's very, very, it's from beginning to end, it's just nonstop fun. It's got challenges to it. And I'm really, really hoping that posting that we saw on Twitter the other day about Respawn looking for a developer is for them to drop more, you know, downloadable content if possible. Because I think this game really, really suits itself for something like that. So number three, Star Wars Jedi Fallen Order.
And I will jump in again because my number two is Jedi Fallen Order. And again, I won't repeat everything you said. I complete agreement. Other than this, if you've not played Jedi Fallen Order and you like to watch the television and the commercials that come on said television, if you see a Jedi Fallen Order commercial come on, turn it off immediately, because at the end is a huge spoiler that you do not want to know. Play this game without knowing that information at the end. But it is fantastic. Kudos to Respawn. It restored my faith in Star Wars video games, because I was getting a little sketchy with that. But it's fantastic. And like you said, Pete, if the rumors are true, I'm all in. Bring it on.
Yep. A question for you guys. Do you think this was like the one that you got to see, Pete, at E3? Star Wars, what's the name of it? The one that got canceled?
13? That game will forever be the unicorn that never was. That's the game that got me back into PC gaming.
Oh, yes. Yeah, it's true. Mm-hmm.
We'll never know.
Pete, here's the thing. Here's how you have to look at it. You have to look at it this way. Look at who was making it and just know that there was a high chance it wasn't going to be that good.
I mean, it was the first time all of the Lucas properties were working together on a title, and it actually ended up being 1313. And unfortunately, it just didn't happen and it fell apart. But
because ask yourself this question. If what they were doing internally was really that good, even once everything happened and EA acquired it, those assets live somewhere, right?
Mm-hmm.
Why aren't they being used? Just ask yourself that question. That's how I look at it. That's how I look at it. If it was that good, they would have figured it out, but they didn't.
Yep.
So that tells me lose all hope. Just so you can sleep better
just
at night.
Like, just like Danny and his force cue madness, dude. This is my force cue.
Okay. All right.
It's so good.
This is my force cue.
Yeah. All right. All right. So number two, I think is you, Paris, right? Number two?
I just did. I said
you
it was just
did, and up. It goes back all to right, me, bad. And then it goes to you.
Yeah, there you go.
So for me, Outer Worlds.
Mm.
Outer Worlds. Number two, Private Division, Obsidian Entertainment. I played this and it was basically Fallout all over again. Fallout New Vegas sequel that I wanted, that I think everybody wanted. I didn't do the multiple playthroughs like you, Danny. I don't have the brain stem for that. But I'm not even done with it, right? But it's enough RPG for me to wet that whistle, because I'm not a big RPG fan, but it's enough action adventure for me to forget the fact that it's actually an RPG that I'm playing, right? It's a really, really well done game. And I don't foresee me finishing it in 2019 for sure. Maybe hopefully the middle of 2020 I'll be done with it. But you know, it's a lot of fun. I like it.
Yeah.
So number two.
Good game, man. All right. So my number two is Control. I'm a huge, huge, huge fan of Remedy.
Yep.
I played all their games, and one of my favorite games of all time from them, it's Alan Wake. And this game really got my attention, even more than Quantum Break. I felt like Quantum Break was good, but it was more of like, we have a lot of celebs there in the game. I don't know. To me, it was kind of fake, in my opinion. But with this, I just love that. It's also still part of the same universe from the previous games, from like Max Payne, Alan Wake, Quantum Break. The story is just crazy. I don't want to go too much into the story because I think, like you were saying, Paris, just play the game not knowing anything and it will surprise you. I know people that play this game, they were a little bit confused for hours, but I feel like once you complete or go to the final or almost close to the final, you understand more about the game. Look, I even went back to discover new areas, because once you upgrade your character, it will help you to discover hidden areas and everything. And there's one Easter egg that blew my mind, man. Blew my mind. And I just can't wait for the DLC content that's coming out sometime next year, which the rumor is it's going to be Alan Wake related. So, man, Control, must have, great story, great soundtrack, and just the voice acting overall is top notch. So Remedy did an amazing job. Control is one of my number two, but it's top five for my game of the year for sure, man.
And I think you should roll right on into your number one.
Yeah, my number one. Yeah, this is my number one. Oh, wait, it's your turn for number one, because that was your number
two. Is my turn? Okay.
Right, yep.
My bad.
All right, so my number one is The Outer Worlds for many reasons. I just love the story. I love the dialogue. I even played this game twice. And one of the things that we've been missing from just RPGs in general is, how about RPGs for people like us that just don't have enough time to play hundreds of hours, right? I think that just having it, you know, 30 hours, 25 hours or so, I think that's good. Make you think when it comes to like just the story, like, oh man, what, like the dialogue conversation I'm having with other people, what I should do. Your choices you made in the game completely changed the story completely. So The Outer Worlds, I think it was a huge surprise for me, because I've never seen anything, just the trailer from E3. But once we went to that preview event, Paris, I looked at him. I was like, this is, you know, the potential of this game. It's going to be huge, man, when it comes out, man. Huge. And Obsidian did an amazing job, man. They dropped the mic, walked away, man. Great, great game. And I hope we'll see more RPGs like this in the future from them, man. So, and not only that, it's available on Game Pass day one. Amazing, dude. Amazing. So I just overall, just love the game, love the characters, love the story, voice acting, everything, man. Top notch. My favorite game of the year, The Outer Worlds, man. So,
yeah, and I'll just piggyback off of it because that was my game of the year as well. I spoiled that on the last episode anyways. This is
the easiest game of the year show for Paris.
Yeah, man. Yep.
Well, yeah, I had already said it on the previous episode. This is my game of the year, so it's not right. A shock. But it like I said, when we went to that preview event, and thank you to Private Division for inviting us out to that, I said to their faces, and I got to say it again talking to one of the guys from Obsidian at the Game Awards, I go, this was the spiritual successor to Fallout New Vegas, which when I look at quote unquote modern RPGs, it is easily in my top three favorite RPGs of all time. And The Outer Worlds is right up there for me too. I love the writing. I love the story. I love the decisions that you had to make in the game. And it was fantastic. These are the kind of RPGs that I like to play. So absolutely, I'm looking forward because they've already announced that we are going to get more DLC in this world. I can't wait to go back to that world and dive back into it again. It was a fantastic game. I'm very happy for Obsidian because they clearly were making this even before they were acquired by Microsoft. So either way, you know, they had a hit on their hands, and this just further validates why Microsoft acquired them and added them to their game studio. And like Danny said, I'm looking forward to more from them. Is it Grounded? Is that the small project they're making? I forget the name of it, but the one they talked about at XO19 from Obsidian, which is it's like Honey, I Shrunk the Kids or whatever, right? But that's a departure from obviously what The Outer Worlds is, but I'm definitely looking forward to, you know, years down the road when they revisit the RPG genre and tackle this again. Now that they got, you know, they got Fort Knox behind them to finance whatever it is they're going to do. So it's only going to be bigger and better. So again, if you've not checked out The Outer Worlds, you have Xbox Game Pass, it is an absolute no-brainer to go pick it up and check it out. Definitely my favorite game of the year and one of my favorite RPGs I've played in a long time.
Yeah, and I agree with that, Paris. And one thing that we forgot to mention too is that this is a new IP, man. You know how hard it is to get that buzz, that game of the year buzz for a new game. Usually we see, you know, the sequels and all that, but brand new IP, tough, man. So more power to them, man. That's what I'm talking about. Look, I'm looking at my list right now, and I think every single game except Super Mario Maker 2 from my list, they're all new IPs, man. So I would love to see that in 2020 and beyond. Just besides the sequels, I would love to see new games that it's just amazing. Forget about just depending on just the name of the franchise. Just do new stuff, man. So The Outer Worlds is up there, man. Totally agree, Paris. Super amazing. Pete, what's your number one? Because I'm super curious.
Yeah, because I've hit all the big numbers, the big titles, yep. Right? So yep. Nobody knows. This is going to be a big, big surprise. I think this is going to be the biggest surprise of all outside of me being on this show. Mecha Crits Slay the Spire came out way early. I think it was like the first couple of weeks of the year. It's by a company called Mecha Crit. I think it was published by Humble Bundle themselves. But it's basically like a roguelike game with deck building cards in it. I've been following the game for the first couple of months until it actually came out on Switch later on in the year. And then I've just been hooked. I don't think there's a game in my library that has as many hours as this does outside of PUBG. PUBG, obviously, that's my favorite game, so I put hours of upon hours. But with all of the work travel that I've had to do this year, mm-hmm. That Switch has come with me, and that game has been my friend for whether I've been traveling on business or when I moved here to Europe and I didn't have internet for a month and a half. That game was right next to me playing nonstop. It's ridiculously fun. There's been moments where I've nearly thrown my Switch across the wall, you know, across the room. But the way that they have combat play in there, where you always have to know what you're going to do 2 to 3 cards ahead of time, the strategy you have to use to build your deck on the fly for every encounter, and it's not just one single character. You've got two different ones. You've got your regular, then you've got your defect characters. And you're always working to unlock new characters, new cards, get new relics. it's just ridiculous, difficult fun, because it's not just a quick, you know, I'm just going to use these cards and power through. No, you have to understand the benefit and the detraction of each card that you're going to play. And if you're going to play certain things and, oh, it's going to like increase my strength but lower my health points, am I going to be able to survive this encounter? There's just so much fun in that game for me. If you like card-based strategy type games, you'll really, really dig Slay the Spire. And it's not that expensive. It's a very, very economical game to pick up. So if you have the chance to check it out, you can play it on any platform, console or handheld. I highly recommend it. So that's my game of the year.
Wow. That game just came out of nowhere.
Told you. Like,
great pick.
That's
good pick, man. Very cool. Yeah. But overall, man, I think, I just want to thank, you know, being in Paris this year, I think has been a great year overall for us. And I had a great time attending events and just recording interviews and just debating with you guys throughout the year and just talking, man. So I just want to say, man, thanks, man, for just being there and motivating me to just be better at what I'm doing right now with podcasts and just in life in general, man. So thank you so much, man, for that, man. Just want to say that. Anything else you guys want to say before we wrap it up?
It's been an interesting year for sure. Like I said, a lot of highs, lows. I mean, I don't want to end the show on a negative thing, so I won't talk about my disappointments of the year. Maybe I'll do that in the after show. But it's been an interesting year for gaming. Like I said, this has been a transition year, so we haven't seen a lot of huge things come out because clearly companies are holding that stuff for next year. But, you know, on a personal note, I mean, definitely had a lot of growth. You know, I've talked openly about some of the anxieties that I've had over the years. And I felt like this was a year where I really just pushed through those. I kind of did some things where I wasn't able to lean on you guys. And that kind of, again, forced me out of my comfort zone. Obviously, the cyberpunk stuff is well chronicled at this point. So that was clearly a big high for me. But even being able to be a part of the Building Healthy Communities Council, going to Gamescom, obviously everything that happened while I was over there, just my interactions with various companies and various people this year has been my highlight. I think a lot of that really culminated for me here last week at the Game Awards, and just being around all our peers and being able to interact with them. And it's like, I know them and they know me, and we're not talking about video games. We're just talking about real life stuff. And I think that's the biggest thing that I took out of this year, is the industry really, I was able to humanize the industry. That's the point I'm trying to make, where it stopped just being about the games and it just really became more about the people. And we all have our real lives and issues and everything that goes on, and I sympathize with all of that. But you know, it's been a good year. I'm excited for 2020. Definitely have some ideas for some things that I want to do as we go into 2020. And thank you, Danny. Thank you, Pete. You both of you have obviously, you know, been my brothers, and just like I said, the people that I can lean on, and as such, being brothers, we don't always get along. People may not see that stuff out in public, but that's okay. That's what family does. Mm-hmm. But at the end of the day, we got each other's back, and I love y'all. There you go. That's my speech. I'm done for 2019.
Cool. You, Pete.
How do I put this? I mean, you know, obviously stepping away from the show has been, it's not something I'm alienated to, right? I've done this before. I've stepped away from the show for a while in the past to get my life in order. I know Paris has said this on several occasions. This wasn't me leaving GTR. This was me just stepping away temporarily, just to get my life in order, because you know it's pretty huge when you got to move 4,800 miles away, living as a stranger in a strange land, is my favorite quote is putting it. Shout out to Iron Maiden for that. but you know, it is what it is, right? And you know, a lot of this you know, a lot of my being able to survive out here, getting over my anxiety of not knowing anybody or anything here, being part of the GTR family for so long helped me acclimate quicker, right? Being thrust into those environments, whether it was my first event, you know, 10 plus years ago, actually it was about 12 years ago, and it was 2007 when you flew me out to San Francisco, my first assignment for GTR, and you were like, here, yeah, you're going out here, bye, record content and come back. I had no idea what the hell I was doing. But it was moments like that where you guys entrusted me with, you know, the keys to the Ferrari to go out and get content for the show, and meeting people that I never would have met and putting me into that situation just made me a better person, not just for the show, but just in my career. So, you know, thanks to you, Danny, for letting me be a part of the show. And then obviously, you know, thanks to both of you for being my brothers that I don't have. So, you know, it's on, I'll be back on the show, you know, in due time. I just got to wait until my, you know, until the rest of my gear gets here. 2020 is going to be much bigger for GTR. I can smell it.
Yeah. And you know, Pete, thanks for coming, man. You know, I think this was a great way for us to end the show for this episode for the year. Yeah, I can't wait for the future, man, for us to start recording again, us three, you know? So, yeah. There is a lot of stuff coming up in the new year. Can't wait for that. There's going to be a lot of content, a lot of ideas, a lot of cool stuff, man. But for you, the listener, whenever you get the chance, not only subscribe to our podcast, but you know, go out there, follow P in Paris on social media, subscribe to Paris YouTube channel. We need that support. You know, the more support we get from everybody, the more content you're gonna get to see. You know, so yeah, I just want to say that. Thank you for listening, for sending the voicemails, everything. I can't wait for 2020. It's gonna be a good year, man. So happy holidays to everyone. Merry Christmas. Have a great time. Happy New Year. And we'll be back here, I believe, second week of January, man. So thank you for everything. And that's it. Until next time, y'all. Take care.
Peace.
Thanks for listening to Gamertag Radio. Be sure to like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter.